On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
we're wandering in the Canadian desert with Havana Castle with a Canadian takeover. This is their house brand, and it's labeled Havana Castle is the name of their cigar brand, which is the name of their cigar shops, which are only in Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, it looks like it's a partnership, a co-partnership between the Rozick brothers, Alex and Andy.
Yeah.
And a lot, and seems like all of their house blends come out of Esteli, Nicaragua, with Papito Gomez being the lead blender. Alejandro Robinia says he's one of Cuba's most revered tobacco growers, made his way into Nicaragua, and has been the master blender for Havana Castle cigars since its inception.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to Smokes episode, folks, where everything in life is worth discussing. Today, I'm your host, good old boy Barger, and to my left is good old boy Mike.
Hey, it's a boot time you got to me.
In front of me is good old boy Benjamin.
You gonna skin that smoke wagon or stand there and bleed?
Hey-o. To my right is good old boy Nate.
How's it going?
Happy New Year again, fellas. This is our second episode of this new year, 2024.
Yeah.
That's right. We're the best thing on at 2 a.m. right before Budget Law with Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. And right after the new hit show, Barger says the darndest things. It's taking off. We're going to get there, folks. As you know, I hope some of you know, our smoke segments are all about cigars and, well, anything that you can smoke. As for today's segment, drum roll please. We're wandering in the Canadian desert with Havana Castle, with a Canadian takeover.
It's about poutine, isn't it?
That's right. So strap on and hang in tight. We're going to have fun today.
Please,
but don't
stop
worry.
Saying strap on.
I brought the lube.
I hear all the Canadian censors just go, cut them right here, right here, right here.
Cut them right there.
Right here.
If you miss anything, don't worry. You can download the full episode from anywhere that you view or listen to podcast from.
View podcast?
Yeah, it's a new thing. They're trying to, you know, it's whatever. But before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, don't forget your helmet and the buddy system.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your buddy?
It's about your buddy.
You have a buddy?
It's about your buddy.
Oh, how are you? Yeah. Tarps off, buddy.
It's a boot.
So if you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered in our Cigar 101 episode where all the cigar speak will be decoded. Just search for Sip, Suds, and Smokes 101 in that episode and it should pop right up in the link and you should be able to listen to it. If you can't, then, you know, try turning it off and back on again. But good old boy Benjamin gets the honors of going over our smokes ratings today.
So today, we'll be smoking and discussing these cigars and rating them with our Sip, Suds, and Smokes rating.
We should stand for this.
Plus our signature sounds.
Everyone ready? Will you sing with me standing in unison? Okay, be seated.
Thank you. Thank you.
Along with the ratings, we also get the smoke sounds. Thank you. So here are those ratings now. Rating one. This sucked even before it was lit. If it gets a two, at least I lit it. A rating of three. I'd smoke this again. Four. How much you want for 'em?
magnificent.
And the coup de grace rating number 5. Where are they? I need a box.
It's about time you bought a box.
Oh, you betcha. Right.
About time. So before we get into our reviews of these cigars, are you sorry?
I'm sorry.
Are you sorry? Yeah. I want to just tell you guys, I had a really good trip with my wife. We went to Canada.
Eh?
I'm sorry.
We went to this little tiny podunk ass town called Owen Sound.
How'd it sound?
Owen. Which was a super interesting town, but next to it was another town, and I done forgot the name. Collingswood.
Banned once again.
Nope, it's Collingswood. I forgot it, but I remembered it. Got it. So in Collingswood was a cigar shop called Havana Castle. The cigar shop was really clean and really nice on the inside, and the guy named Denny Liggins, I think is his name.
Oh, it's Denny Liggins.
Denny Liggins, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Was the cigar shop manager, super nice guy, very hospitable, took me in the humidor where I was thoroughly confused. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a humidor in Canada. Have you been, Nate?
It's been a while.
So every cigar, even brands that we know and love, all have a gray label with white writing on them. Doesn't matter what it is. The actual cigar band is underneath the gray label. And I assume that's to prevent young people to go, oh, that's pretty. I want to buy that. But it makes everything so confusing. It's like walking into a doctor's office and not knowing what's happening. Yeah, how did I even get to the doctor's at that point? And another thing is you can't smoke indoors in Canada, which is horrible. So I'm like, me and my wife, I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go to the cigar shop and smoke a cigar and meet some locals and hang out and do the things that I do when we travel. And I got there and I start to pull a cigar out and they're like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to smoke a cigar.
No, you're not.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. You're going to.
How about you don't?
He's like, you got to go 30 meters away. And I was like,
have poutine with that,
I was like, what's a meter? What's a meter?
What's a meter?
I mean, I didn't have to pay a meter to come in here. Like, I got to go 30 of them away. So anyway, it was a good time. The shop was awesome. Denny was great. And I had a really good time. We actually pulled some chairs outside and we broke the law. Where we sat there and smoked cigars. Oh, it was great.
Gasp.
And I did get to meet some locals, which was awesome.
Yee-haw!
And it was about like that. It was a good time for sure. So, you know, what's interesting about this brand is this is their house brand. So this is their house brand. And it's labeled Havana Castle is the name of their cigar brand, which is the name of their cigar shops, which are only in Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, it looks like it's a partnership, a co-partnership between the Rozick brothers, Alex and Andy.
Yeah.
And seems like all of their house blends come out of Esteli, Nicaragua, with Papito Gomez being the lead blender. Alejandro Robinia says he's one of Cuba's most revered tobacco growers, made his way into Nicaragua, and has been the master blender for Havana Castle cigars since its inception.
So what's interesting and what we're going to find out, folks, about these cigars as we go through them is we're just not even going to mention the binder filler wrapper because all the information we have is they're Nicaraguan.
They're puros through and through.
Puros through and through. So that, if you're wondering what they are, binder, filler, wrapper for every cigar we're going to talk about is Nicaraguan.
Looks like a pretty solid growth, too. It says in 98.
Hold on. Filler, binder, wrapper.
Nailed it. That a boy.
We're gonna change these.
Quick learner.
So in my brain, the alphabetical binder filler wrapper is just where my brain goes. Sorry, it's a Kentucky education. You can blame the public educational system for that.
But yeah, so starting this journey in 1998, producing just under 500 cigars yearly to now well over 500,000 cigars currently.
Yeah.
So that's pretty incredible.
They had a lot to offer, and we only got, four offerings to go over.
I do have an interesting thought that just popped in my head. It's fine. Well, it's just with the whole Nicaraguan Puro thought. There's not a lot of people who use Nicaraguan wrapper leaf for everything. Yeah. It's really distinct, and especially like the people who do it are known for having their own fields and farms, and it sounds like they have their own factory, but
from my understanding, they have their own factory and fields and farms.
So, but I just track with me, and I may be wrong on this.
Let's talk about it.
You like theories.
I love it. Let's go.
But my theory is, I wonder, because I know Canada has such strict laws, I wonder if for them, they present it as a Nicaraguan Puro because they're representing the country of origin where it's being shipped into the country as. And I'm curious if that's it, because I wonder if for their government, if they started throwing other countries into the mix. Just a thought. Maybe I'm wrong.
So that's possible.
Because they're normally used to dealing with Cubans.
That would be lame.
Yeah. According to Havana Castle.
I mean, it's a very plausible idea. I like your theory.
No, it's a great theory. It's a great theory.
And aliens hang out in Saskatchewan. Yeah.
But according to Havana Castle's website, Papito Gomez, Cuban-born, but then produced on his own 40-acre plantation dubbed Finca La Piña, located in Chuquillas de Barbacoa.
Love some barbacoa.
100%. Says that right now the cigar's quality can still be appreciated in top-of-the-line Cohibas, Esplendidos, and Joya de Monterrey Double Coronas, which are internationally renowned for their aroma, burn, draw, and construction. As a mentoring relationship, these specific artisan traits have now been attentively passed down to Gomez through the hands-on training and masterly guidance of Robinia.
Yeah.
Years later in Nicaragua, Papito has grown to similar cult status himself, where he blends and rolls for other world-class luxury blah, 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 blah.
Words. Words are hard. All right. So I did try one of the house blend cigars while I was there that was a Cuban seed grown in Nicaragua, they said. You guys didn't get to try them. I got to try it.
And thanks a lot, Barger. Yeah,
that's my fault. 100%, because I'm not paying these Canadian prices for these things that I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
And so I bought one.
Sure.
And it was a great cigar. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I'm not going to go home and smoke them every day, but that Cuban seed one that they have, and I didn't even get the name of it. There's no band on it. It was just a house blend cigar. There it is. That's it. But it was good. I liked it. So I don't know. We're gonna
with poutine.
Yeah. Listen, I ate
did
poutine.
You dip the tip of it in gravy? Bro,
listen, when I was in Canada, I ate poutine every meal.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry. It was amazing. Amazing. Welcome back, and I hope you enjoyed those commercials. But we are talking about Havana Castle cigars out of Ontario, Canada. We want to touch a little bit about house blending cigars. So that's a good conversation that we were having during the break about house blend cigars, about house blend cigars, and kind of what's the steps beside of them, and how do we go about them? Because some house blends just, have a shoebox salesman that come in and just are like, I want to blend this for you. And they're like, yes, we want you to blend this for us.
Well, and so the big thing is many retailers, you go into a shop and there's a lot of people who ask about the house blend. And to me, I think of a house blend almost being like a well whiskey. It's kind of that like,
yep.
It's a Maduro, it's a Habano, it's a Connecticut, and it smokes good, and I know I can come back to it day in, day out.
Consistency.
So, yeah, when I think of what the consumer would look for, that's what I would think from. So a lot of the shops, it depends on the manufacturer. I would say most house blends are not going to be situations where it's like you're going to the factory and and you're picking out the blend, or you're, you know, it's more so a lot of those are manufacturers say, hey, we've got these 10 blends. Here you go. Would you like to pick this? And then it's, you know, and because of being able to have it all the time, you buy it in larger quantities. So you have that. And then you have where people will actually create specific lines with existing brands. But
yeah,
normally house cigars to me are things that should be under that average price. You know, right now they should be $10 or under, and it should be just a reliable utility cigar. And most shops, they, you know, it's
a good intro cigar.
Most shops who pick it are going to work with a factory that's already producing a lot of cigars, and they have programs. There's usually companies you can trust who are going to put those out for you.
Yeah.
And to me, there's a lot of people. You hear, you know, Mike kind of brought that up. I will tell you, there's people who call all the time into my shop who say, oh, you know, we've got this company and we're in Miami and we can sell you these cigars for this much. There are those people out there who are that, like, door-to-door person.
Shoe salesman.
I would say, depends on your retail. You know, you go to South Florida and you might see 20 different house blends in a shop, and they may have something like that. But if you go to a shop and you see 2 to 3 or 4 house blends, to me, it should just be a solid standby that you can go to always, and good construction, good burn. They're really just made to be consistent. That's the big thing.
Well, and you know, I think that usually when I tend to think of things that are house brands, period, be it a cigar or a whiskey or wine or anything like that, it's about the margin, you know, and they're usually, they fall in one of two categories, I think, from my perspective. One is that they're there for people that are not looking for something distinctive in that particular product. So I've been to, you know, several cocktail bars, especially, that they want to offer a cigar that, you know, is not necessarily, is their house brand. And so they're not really looking to be a cigar bar. They're looking for it to be a cocktail place that you can purchase a cigar at.
It's like, oh, let me pair this with this because we can make more money.
Right. And so it's really about making sure that someone is there to complete the experience and not really, you know, I'm going there to have a, you know, an amazing, you know, Crown Heads, you know, Texas Rose that, you know, I can't get back home, Yellow Rose. Thank you. But you know, the other category is that it is about margin, and it's about, you know, instead of, you know, that margin really going to somebody else, I want to keep that margin in-house. And so there are things there for, you know, the in-house staff to pump, and they're looking for people that are like, yeah, you know what, you're not really that, you don't really care, you know, why don't you start with one of our house cigars? And
and even like my shop, when we first brought in our first house cigar, and I can tell you this, that Barger over here, he took full advantage of this, but we used to run this deal all the time where if you bought any four cigars,
full advantage,
any four cigars in our humidor, didn't matter what it was, you got a house cigar for free, because we were trying to promote it and we wanted people to know it. But so even with that, there, you know, a lot of shops do all kinds of different promotions with it and different things. And you're right. You know, it's just that thing where it's like, if you buy a house cigar from a shop, you should know that you are helping support that shop.
So here's why I took advantage of that. And I'm not necessarily taking advantage. No, I didn't mean take advantage
in a good way.
But here's why.
Take advantage.
Here's why. So with the house cigars that you guys provided, I knew that I was going to get a solid construction cigar that I didn't have to think about. And I knew what it was going to be every time, right? So there was no discerning factors of, well, if I'm not in the mood for this, I'm not in the mood for that. If I'm in the mood to smoke a cigar and I don't know what I want, I'm going to grab a house cigar. In my brain. But that's just how I'm wired. So if I've got an excess of these because I went and bought some of the stuff that I wanted to smoke but didn't know what the, you know, the exact time or date or whatever my mood was that I wanted to smoke that in, I knew I could rely on that house cigar to go, well, you know what, it's going to get me in the mood to smoke something. So, you know, if I get done with that and I'm like, hey, I still want to smoke another cigar, I'm going to go, you know, what's on my flavor profile right now? What's going to blend well with that? You know, with two cigars that are going to smoke good together. And I would use those cigars for that. But I would also use those cigars to introduce people. So, like, yeah, I would get those cigars for you know, free or whatever by buying cigars, but I would also take them to non-cigar smokers and go, you know what? I don't want to waste $15, $12 on you, not necessarily you as in like as a person, but like if you don't know what you like and you don't know what you want to smoke, I can say, hey, try this.
So you're saying your third least favorite cousin that took last piece of bacon, you would give them that cigar.
Listen, that bacon was crispy and I really enjoyed it and they ruined it for me. but no, like I could hand that cigar to a cigar newbie and be like, hey, did you like this? Tell me what you didn't like. And that will help me guide someone into something that might better suit their flavor profile. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Thought that's what the Swishers were for.
Well, you know, just the wood tips. Mm. Yeah, the wood tips.
Well, the jazz, black and
white. So I'm going to throw out a question, but I don't want you guys to answer it now. I want you to think about it for a bit. Do you think of house blend cigars as being better, average, or below average in general? So I want you to think about the question. We'll come back around to the question in a bit.
Let's get into the first cigar of this line here. We're going to start with the Maduro.
All right.
And we're going to have Nate tell us all about it.
Sorry, I'm raring to go over
it's
here.
It's all right. Now, I just want to disclose this. Before we get into this, I was given no information about these cigars. I had to pull everything offline.
I'm sorry.
From what I could find.
Oh, it's so sorry.
From what I could find. And they provide Havana Castle. Thank you so much for providing us with cigars for this. We definitely enjoyed our experience and tasting your cigars.
Hey, Jose, here's another one for your collection, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, thanks for that. And you know, here we go with what little information we have tonight.
All righty. So if you want a lot of body from a cigar, you'll find that one of our beloved Black Havana Castle really fits the bill. It's for the mature smoker who wants more bold and strong taste. The cigar is loaded with earthy characters, and it provides tons of impressive and pleasurable richness. Designed specifically for full body fans, this popular cigar features a dark, spicy, and fragrant wrapper, which is a leaf grown from a Cuban seed. Its filler, origin, and binder are Nicaraguan.
They love some full bodied.
Right?
Heyo. And what were the filler binder wrappers?
Nicaragua.
That's what the information we have, folks. But let's go ahead and rate it, guys. What did you think?
You want to rate it up front?
Yeah, let's rate it up front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a 3 across the board. Tell me a little bit about what you thought about smoking this cigar, Mike, because I know you've been itching at the microphone.
No. So I wrote down nice even burn, easy draw, kind of one-dimensional, not really that big, booming Maduro, you know? Kind of cocoa, apple, some of the other things. Sometimes when I pick up a Maduro, you know, I have this, I call it the Drew effect.
Shout out Drew.
Drew, you hoser.
Hey, you know, for sure.
Can I get you a beer? Back bacon?
Yeah. It's going to come with, you know, a lot of presence about it and a lot of flavor. And this just wasn't that. It didn't have that, you know, again, that big booming, you know, pronounce your presence with authority, you know, coming around. I know we're going to talk about this a little bit, but all these sticks were enormous. They're huge. Huge ring gauge. These were
a lot of girth.
Yeah. So a lot going on, you know. So if it seemed like we had a lot to write, it's because we had plenty of time with each of these sticks.
Yeah, we did. For sure. We did. And I'll say this. I mentioned earlier the house cigar that you guys didn't get to try that I did. It was in the ring gauge that we're used to. Like, it was about a 50 ring gauge. And so it was very pleasant for me. So, but everything in this cigar line is like 55 or higher.
Yes.
And it's man, it's a workout.
I wish to register a complaint.
Yeah. You had to stare it down.
Yeah.
As you were like,
even for the length, like it was a Robusta length, but it was
qualified to smoke something that's big.
54 well, ring gauge.
Yeah.
Well, and like, guys, think about that weather we just had last week here in Tennessee. I mean, it was cold. We had a bunch of snow. I mean, that's Canada all the time.
Yeah.
Where you want to smoke, sit out there and smoke that?
I guess you got to be born into it, though.
Maybe so, in my ice fishing tent.
Yeah.
No, yeah, right, and that's exactly, that's the other thing too, is even like living in that climate, right, you find ways to survive, and they probably are,
yeah,
sitting, you know, over an ice hole, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Just having a fish, looking for some pike.
Smoking a 60 right? ring gauge. Yeah,
with a propane heater, and yep, you know, that's all you got is time.
Some poutine.
Yeah. Putting some gravy on some
trays. Right there in the ice shack.
Yeah, poutine's the jam, I'm just saying.
I did find
gravy, not jam.
Well, that's fair.
Okay.
I did find a little bit more in my some of my notes here. So some of the flavor profile I had was cocoa, applewood, a dusty horse blanket was some of the other flavor profile.
Did you say horse blanket?
Horse blanket.
Oh.
Yes. No, not strawberry lube.
Well, that's
here we go.
That was the last episode.
Drink.
Yeah. Got him.
Buffalo.
Benjamin, what'd you think about it?
Man, you know, I think that I'm right in line there with Mike. These are, you know, they embody a house smoke to me. They're not super complex. They're not really going to knock you down with, you know, really diving deep in with flavor profile notes and those kind of things.
Hey, I'm Maduro. Right. I'm here in the setup shop.
These, you know.
Your sister's looking pretty good.
Not in a negative connotation, but this is a classic yard guard, right? This is something that you're puffing on while you're out, you know,
if you got mow an acre,
and yeah, right.
Or two.
So you know,
what's up, neighbor?
Yeah.
Hey, hoser.
Hey, neighbor.
Yeah. Hey, can I borrow your hose?
But definitely one of those things, and one of those smokes that yes, it had some of those common baseline Maduro flavors, right?
Yeah.
But definitely not going to knock you down with any complexity. Not super strong, right? It had a bit of body to it, but not overwhelming on the nicotine strength.
See, I thought it was approachable for a Maduro.
No, 100%.
But it was an intro Maduro, if that makes any sense.
Well, and honestly, I mean, I was kind of just thinking even, it's like, you know, it's a cigar.
Yeah, but for sure.
To me, it's like, it's kind of like the beer world where, like, if you're, you know, if you're into barrel-aged beers, you're like, oh my gosh, what people are doing and the depths and all this stuff.
If I had that 30 pounds back, I would take it back.
Right, exactly. But then, you know, then, I mean, don't get me wrong, I ain't harping on Guinness at all, but you know, to me, if you then you have a Guinness, well, and
love
you're
Guinness.
What
I love Guinness.
Hey, I ain't harping on it, you know, but
harping,
right? But to me, it's that thing of like, it's just, they're different worlds, they're just totally different worlds, and to me, Guinness is a beer, this is a cigar.
Let's not kill Kenny over
hit
it.
That note. That's a tough <ass. Yeah.
laughs> Tell us how you really feel. But I think that is the most spot on description, right? This is a cigar, right? And not with any negative connotation, but it's not something that just absolutely blew me away,
right?
But I, you know, like I said, three across the board, it definitely would get smoked again.
So next up, we've got the Blue Habano, and Mike is going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, so the Blue Habano, here's some of the description we have for that. If it's a medium-bodied cigar, tends to provide you with the most cigar smoking pleasure, then we recommend our Blue Series H Medium. You'll find that it has great depth, and that's the perfect complement to a good cup of Joe in the morning. Since it does have enough richness and dimension to retain its character, even when accompanied by bold food or drink or poutine. It's a versatile cigar to enjoy with beverages and meals. Thank God this Vegemite's not involved. Of course, it's also great on its own. So
Vegemite, yikes.
Vegemite. So when you actually do get to look at the label, it is blue. And
definitely blue.
It is labeled Original Series on the cigar itself. I wrote down a classic Habano, mild wood, hints of leather, kind of a whisper of mint. Yeah, you know, I just thought it was kind of pretty average, you know, once again.
Kind of ho-hum.
Yeah, kind of ho-hum. You know, yeah, just It was definitely, you know, if somebody walked into Nate's shop and said, you know, what's a classic Habano, you know, taste profile? Boom, there you go, you know, so.
I actually really liked this Habano. Not going to lie. I thought it was very much a run-of-the-mill Habano flavor.
Oh, I'm sorry. The binder filler wrapper is Nicaraguan.
Yeah. Yeah, filler, the filler binder wrapper.
Not to be confused with anything.
Again.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just thought it was a very approachable Habano, very light, easy on the draw, easy on the smoke. Again, with the size, I think if this would have been in like the 50 ring gauge category.
If it had been smaller, if it would have been a smaller
ring gauge, I think I would have absolutely.
If it had been Toro or a little bit smaller.
Yeah. I would have absolutely bought a bunch of these. If
petite Lanceros, he would have bought a box.
If they were petite Lancero, I'd have bought a box.
Nothing about this brand is petite.
Yeah. Well, but no, nothing.
To me, too, some of that plays into the sizing, kind of plays into the fact of it being a Maduro, a Habano. You know, I mean, it's kind of like. When you get into that sizing too, unless you're really trying to offer something special, you know, like one of the big old LFDs or something, you know, it's hard to get complexity and flavor when it comes to some of those bigger sizes.
Yeah. And it's also hard to get consistency. And that's what I find when I smoke, you know, larger ring gauge cigars is that consistency, because you're adding girth and you're making something more visually large, that you're just lacking the conventional makeup of a cigar. Like either your draw is too tight or your draw is too loose. Like it's really hard to get a good large ring gauge cigar to smoke proper. There are a few brands that do it. Don't get me wrong. Like there are multiple brands that do it, but it's for my taste and profile, it's hard to get me on to say I'm gonna smoke this 60 ring gauge and have a good time with it, you know. So what did you guys think?
Same classic Habano, and I've been on the Habano train, you know, like we've heard, you know, over the last few episodes. Didn't really have the spice punch that I normally enjoy from a Habano. This was definitely a little bit more muted, but came through on the retrohale. But the construction and burn of this was clean, right? The burn line on this thing was razor sharp. I didn't have any construction issues with it. And I think I had that, you know, it's to be noted that I had that experience with everything in this line. So for my rating.
So we're going to rate that a 3. Yeah. And then we're going to take a break here just a second, and then we're going to have some more fun stories.
Yeah. And the answer to that question that I threw out at the tip of this segment. Yeah.
We're going to have fun time with that. Enjoy these commercials, folks. Welcome back, and I hope you thoroughly enjoyed those commercials and buy whatever it is they're telling you to buy. But as we're going to continue on, Mike, you asked us a question earlier.
Yeah, so the question I threw out at the tip of the last segment was,
what
you
underwear
know,
we're wearing?
No, I know it's under ruse. I don't know if it's blue or brown ones this week.
Superman. But I'm a Duluth bare naked man myself.
Hey, oh, wow. Yeah, you're. Look like the guy on the commercial. So
we're going bear hunting.
That's a fat joke, and I'll let it slide today.
Need more Mike, beard, you know? Okay? Yeah. You know, it's just in general, you know, when you think of, you know, house blend cigars, I mean, do you think that they're above average or below average? I mean, you have some preconception about that just because it falls in that category.
So I'll take the lead with this one, and I think that house blends, for me, are just your run-of-the-mill average cigars. There are very few house blend cigars that I have just been wowed by. And one of them was out of your shop, Nate. You guys had a house blend.
Yeah.
That was blended by Crown Heads, I believe.
Well, Sanctuary. Now, so that's gets into a different conversation.
Right. That's a different conversation, because, 100%.
No, because that's not a house blend. See, like what I was saying in the beginning, this is a Crown Head cigar, band boxed everything.
Okay.
That our brand did exclusively for us.
Okay.
A house cigar is either, like we in our shop differentiate a house cigar with a ribbon. Some people band them, but it is like, generally it is not necessary. It's a bundle. Like you can buy it by a bundle. You can buy, like normally people have it in trays, but to me, that's where shop exclusives from brands are a little different because it's still marketing that brand.
Correct.
This one's all about marketing the shop.
Correct.
Yeah. Which is generally, you know, I think my predisposition, and I actually have a different answer depending on where I'm at.
Well, so, the problem is the shop has to matter because it is that person picking it.
Well, so what I was going to be distinctive, though, is that I've had house cigars that are in a cocktail bar as opposed to house cigars that are in a cigar shop. And even some of the location of those cigar shops had a very different impression for me.
Yeah.
Like the ones that I had in England were amazing. I mean, some of the house blend cigars that I had in some of the shops in and around London were really, I thought, above average.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, when they were kind of pushing them on me, they were like, well, listen, if you buy, you know, I was actually shopping Cubans that in one day in particular.
Ooh,
and he was like, well, listen, if you buy, you know, four of the Cubans, you know, you can have, you know, a house cigar. And I'm like, much the same way you were talking about bundling a little bit earlier. And I was like, okay, whatever. And they just, you know, and I just kind of dismissed it. But when I actually sat down and smoked it, I was like, wow, I actually like that. And if, what was funny is I actually liked the house cigar better than the Cubans that I bought that day.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I would say in general, probably if it was a retailer, probably in the U.S., I would say you're pushing this on me because you're getting more margin out of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you're really looking at me and saying, this guy, you know, is looking for a particular taste profile based on the other things he's asked for in my humidor.
Well, you know? And you know, the thing I love is we have such a wide variety of smokers now, you know, I mean,
oh, even sitting here at the table.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, and I just love that cigars are not necessarily about wealth anymore. And even back in the day, it's funny. I mean, it all translates different with pricing and valuing and all that stuff.
So you're saying, like, there's a $50 coffin house blend?
Right. Probably somewhere. Who knows?
What's the margin on that?
Who knows?
$47.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, but, and so I was going to say too, this is another thing I was going to say is, and
what are you going to say,
Nate? Sorry. Say Nader salad.
These guys are giving me Nader whiskey. Salad. So this is what happens.
Let's tell us how you really feel. You poured
that whiskey yourself.
I know. Exactly. So no, but I will say too, you really have to just, if it's your local shop and they're your home place, you got to just try it and see if you like it. Because I have people who all the time are skeptical about our house blends. But I'll tell you, I mean, in the last at least 7 years we've been carrying house cigars, one of our ones, you know, the other thing I will tell you is it is a bigger commitment for shops because they're normally buying them by at least 1,000 cigars at a time.
Wow.
There's
so,
a big
so it is a big commitment usually. And so, but I'll tell you, like, I mean, we usually go to through at least for one specific blend, 2,000 to 3,000 a year is what we go through. Wow. And so like, I mean, and that's our small little shop. And so there is people who move a good amount, but it is, we buy a lot up front. But at the same time, we stand by it, you know?
You had one house cigar that I cannot remember the name of that you haven't had in a long time.
Yeah, that's because of some factory change-ups, but...
But that cigar, I would put that cigar with just about any cigar I could buy in their humidor.
Yeah, so I draw a lot of lines...
Above, average, or below?
So for me, I think, just like you said, it depends on the shop. And it depends on why they are getting their own house blend. Are they looking to just make that margin? Which, if it is a name brand shop and they are definitely more maybe like whiskey or cocktail focused, in my opinion, run. Right? Like, I don't think that what they're looking for there is any type of like quality or complexity.
These
or,
aren't the cigars you're looking
that's
for.
That's exactly right. But, you know, I draw a lot of lines between the whiskey industry and the premium tobacco industry because whiskey is my background. And if you trust the palate of the place that you're going, like your local shop where, you know, you walk in and are looking for new recommendations, then I think their house blend is something you have to try. This is the single barrel experience of your local tobacconist.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
If they have a solid palate for good smokes, then I think that this is where you're going to find those above average, right? Those bang for your buck smokes that get you going, that really kind of get your, you know, to Barger's point, palate set for maybe something that's got a little bit more nuance, a little bit more complexity. But you should expect and enjoy something that local shop has put together, because one, you're going to get the value. Two, you're going to be supporting them directly, right? Because they're going to get the margin on it.
Yeah.
And then three, it should be a pretty solid smoke. Like, this thing should be something that you come back to and visit time and time again.
So what I want to tell our listeners is that no matter what your local cigar shop is, if they offer a house blend, try the house blend. When you go in and buy five cigars, a box of cigars, pick up a couple different of their house blends. Check them out. Try it. Don't be afraid of it. Just try it. You don't have to take our word for it. We know. But all I'm saying is just give it a try, because you might actually enjoy that cigar as a daily smoke and have a cheaper price point than you would have by going and getting the Cohibas or the whatever you want off the shelves that make you feel a status symbol.
Well, and like I'm going to throw this. I mean, I know y'all have drank a lot of whiskey, but even, I mean, I know Ben's taken part in a lot of even barrel picks and stuff. But it's like, even with how many no-name whiskey single barrels, random barrel picks have you had that are mind-blowing? You know, well, I mean,
all of them.
It's different, many but similar in a sense, you know, where it's like.
It's funny you bring up whiskeys, because when I go to shops now, I used to hunt whiskey, used to try to get all the cool top shelf stuff. Dude, when I go to a shop now, I buy a store pick and I'm out.
Store picks are the spice of life.
I buy a store pick and I'm out, because I don't, especially if it's a shop that I go to all the time and I know the flavor profile of the people that are picking the barrels there, I'm going to pick a store pick over anything on the shelf that you're going to tell me, and I'm going to spend $20 to $50 less than anyone's going to spend. Mm.
I got to send this whole, and we have two more sticks to go over. So let's get to the BK Cafe. And tell us all the extensive background on this, Benjamin.
Yeah, so
tell us all about it.
Be prepared. This one's a diatribe of information. The cigar that we're going to be talking about, or that I have the pleasure of speaking about, is the Havana Castle. This is going to be the White BK Cafe 56. And I'll give you three guesses. The first two don't count. Where do you think these tobaccos are from?
Central America.
Burger King?
Yeah. The BK Lounge? Yeah, 100%.
Have it your this way. Is,
Tom Hortons?
Yeah, this is a...
Tim.
Yeah. Tim I'll have Tim. A double-double,
eh?
Yeah. But yeah, this is a Nicaraguan Puro, the YBK. Man, so all Nicaraguan Puro, they don't have any info online about these. This seems to be like a special limited release that they did, but the 56 is definitely indication of the ring gauge. It was a 56 Robusto size, so you know, a little short, the 5.5 inch kind of ballpark, and they are elusive in what they will tell us. But what I will tell you about this cigar: toasty, creamy, waxy, nutty notes. This thing was actually probably top two out of the ones that I smoked from Havana Castle. But still kind of along that same narrative of just solid. There's not a lot of nuance. There's not a lot of complexity going on here. They are just nice, smooth blends. They are nice cigars. Hey, they're very, very nice. I feel like they say they're sorry.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, you betcha.
He's a real good guy.
Well, don't know what you're looking for. Sorry. Have a Havana Castle.
Yeah. It's interesting the listening to you guys talk about these, because I have the exact same experience. Like they're okay. They're okay.
Yeah, solid.
Like I wasn't wooed over this cigar, but I wasn't turned off by this cigar either.
Fair.
And So as a Nicaraguan Puro, air quotes, you know, we'll figure out. I think that if you're in anywhere in Ontario, Canada, they
22
have
22 locations.
They have 22 locations in Greater Ontario, Canada. Go to Havana Castle. Try these cigars.
You're out in Barrie for the Country Music Festival. Stop and in Havana Castle.
Email us, copy Mike on it, and let us know how you feel.
Now, can I do? Mike posed a question to us, and I do. I'm going to take it that Mike at this table is the person who smokes most Cubans on the consistent basis. I'm going to say that. Or am I wrong?
Mr. Deep Pocket's over there.
It doesn't matter. Here's the question. Here's another question to pose. If you were in Canada and you walk into one of their humidors and they have all the Cubans that you can see and find within that same price range, you think you'd want to go with a Havana Castle or you think you'd go with a Cuban?
So before I let him answer this question, what was interesting about my experience was I went in there looking for Cuban cigars. I didn't buy a single Cuban cigar.
Huh, interesting.
The reason I didn't buy a single Cuban cigar is because the price point was outrageous on a Cuban cigar.
What is outrageous?
I'm spending 30 plus on a Cuban cigar. And for me, that's outrageous because I'm you know, poor guy over here. Middle class. Let's go. And this is not my forte. And I was going to try to get a couple, see if I could bring them back and smoke them. But I just, you know, did not have that luck, but I scored on these Havana Castles. I think they're actually, I like them better than some of the Cubans that I've smoked. Mike, go.
Well, my quick notes on this. It was kind of on the BK Cafe 56, woody up front. It stayed kind of woody. It was evergreen to the midpoint. Good burn line overall construction. Actually, that was pretty consistent across most of these sticks. But this was kind of ho-hum, you know, for me. So
what are we going to rate it? We're going to give it a 3. You guys are right in the middle ground here. So I want to go over real quick. I purchased one of their other cigars, and it was called the Apache Tradition. I didn't get to bring some back for you guys because, like we were talking about price points, cigars are actually really expensive in Canada. And I didn't know that going into Canada because I'd never been. This was my first trip to Canada, never been. And I walked in and was like, oh my God, I can get the same thing back home for $8. And why would I spend $18 on here?
Did you see the increase in price kind of across the board? It's
everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Even like your Fuentes, just $10 more.
AJ
just
Fernandez.
Everything. Right. $10 more. And I'm like, I know this cigar. I'm not spending this money on this cigar because of this price point. Like, I'm not going to do it. So, but this Tradizione.
Let me guess. Nicaraguan?
How did you know? How did you know? So, let me just explain it. It's not actually a Nicaraguan Puro.
Ooh. Yeah, this is a different wrapper.
So, this is a Dominican binder with a Dominican and Nicaraguan filler. With an Ecuadorian Connecticut shade.
Which one of these things is not like the other?
Which was interesting. This cigar is not my traditional ring size. It was a 60 by 6.5.
Holy cow.
It was a long... It took me...
2 hours.
I watched a movie. I watched a movie while I was smoking this cigar.
Deathly Hallows, part one.
Yeah, the movie got over and I still had a quarter of a cigar left. I'm like, you go to bed, honey. I'm going to finish this cigar. See you later.
Well, at least you finished it.
Dude, I should have bought more. Like, I know this they've been middle of the road for us on this episode here, but this cigar, I would give it a solid 4.5 for sure. So that's you know, everything good in life is worth discussing.
So what's your rating on that?
That's 4.5.
Oh, we don't have 4.5.
I know. Well, I'm gonna give it a 4 then.
I ain't giving it a 5.
Yeah, we'll give it a 5. We'll give you a 5 on that one because I enjoyed that cigar 100%. So, pairings. What did you guys go for pairings? Start with Nate.
I mean...
Water?
Water. I mean, I drink water and cigars a lot. That's it.
Root beer for me.
Yeah, root beer.
Yeah, Sprecher.
Mm, an exit strategy.
That's right.
That's what my pairing
you drink
was
that?
With this. Oh, man. How do I finish this and move on? Yeah, you know, they were so big.
Yeah, so let's what did you guys overall? Love it, hate it?
I love the, you know, this is the first time I've really gone through a full product line of a house blend, so I'm glad we did that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I like them as well. Yeah. So, wow, man, this is great stuff. I really appreciate you guys and your time today. I'd like to thank our host, good old boy Mike.
Hey, if you'd like to learn more about us, check our back catalog out. Enjoy another great episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy Benjamin.
Smoke them if you get them, eh?
Good old boy Nate.
Keep it cold.
Keep it frosty.
I'm
sorry.
And good old boy Barger. Oh, thanks, guys. Oh, yeah, thanks. No, I had a great time with you guys tonight. I would just love for you guys, if you're in Ontario, Canada, go to these locations, talk to them, enjoy these cigars, because we had a good time with this.
Maybe I can get invited to a poutine tasting.
Oh, do they have a poutine festival?
No, I'm down.
Oh, let's go.
They cover you in gravy?
Poutine cigars? Ooh, you can cover me in gravy.
Moose and gravy?
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who wants a Molson?
All right, man. Well, signing off here, you guys have a good time and keep smoking whatever it is.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.